I just ask for you to come now and teach us. Lord, we open up our heart and our minds, open up our word. And Father, if you don't speak, then we're just making stuff up, and that's really not worth our time. So Lord, let us hear from Channel Heaven. And we ask that you adjust the tuner very crisply so we can hear you well. And God, whatever it is you have in our life, we say yes to, because Lord, we know it's ultimately for our good. And it brings you glory. And those two things are high on our list, God. So come speak to us, Holy Spirit. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, beginning of the year, we had talked about how the Lord was going to shake all things that could be shaken, right? And we've experienced some shaking, haven't we? A lot of different areas of life. This year has not been a calm year. It's been a year of shaking, right? And we talked about how the Lord was going to teach us to live in a normal way. We were using the word new normal back before the media was. About this idea that there was a new normal of dependency on Him and watching the Lord come through and just live sort of supernaturally natural, if you will, right? Dependent on Him. And has that happened for some of us? Okay, couple of you, yeah. I know it has for me, right? Dang, right? 2020 is the year of dependence on the Lord. Yeah, and can I actually say, don't throw anything at me, but this has been one of my favorite years of my young life. I know you're scowling like that. But seriously, like take out all the fun, all of the murder hornets and the COVID and whatever else, right? You know, turn your news off, and it's a wonderful year. Really. I mean, it really is a cool year. It's been conflict, and it's been, issues and things, but I've just watched the Lord keep hearts at peace, provide when things have broken down. I've watched Him fix them. I've watched Him build life into dead things. I've seen hope and promise and future coming, and to me, it's an exciting and it really has been a nice year. And then, take all that apart and say, I've spent more time with family. Personally, like the Lord has just said, no, we're not going to be busy doing that, 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 or that. And it's been great. He's filled that with more of Him and more family, and great. Just thank you, God, for a breath of fresh air. It's been a wonderful year, right? So the shaking is good if you let it be. It's terrifying if you're a control freak. Right? Okay. So then the Lord, He was speaking to me this week about reminding us of the importance of maintaining our lifestyle worship at all times, that the shaking's not done. So, right? And, it doesn't take a really prophetic person to know that. The shaking's not done. It might actually get a little worse as we go through the rest of this year, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just being real. Right? I'd rather be real with you than not, right? And so if I truly believe the shaking's not done, because the Lord is still, so much goodness has come out from the first bit of shaking through the first part of the year. He's like, let's do more of that. Right? And I'm not saying He's the one who's causing problems, but, He allows all things for good, right? And so what's going to happen is I believe the church is going to learn in the next phase what it means to be able to worship at all times, right? Now, it's one thing to go through the motions. It's another thing to really connect with His goodness in difficult situations, to really be able to grab a hold of His reputation and who He is, trust Him, and then worship Him only because you know who He is, not because all your problems are solved. Right? Now, I will say there's a part of your mind that almost feels insane, because you're like, why are you being glad in the trouble? Why don't you be glad once the solution comes? Because that's the way the world works, right? Problem, freak out. Solution, feel better. And we are not those of this world. Our kingdom's a different kingdom. And so while the world is up today, down tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow. We don't have to be subject to that rising and falling and those peaks and valleys, right? Because our worship is in Him alone. And so I'm not saying we don't feel things, but we don't have to freak out and fall apart and then, right? Yeah. Let me bring this for the internet land.
I know. So I had a little fleshly freak out temper tantrum yesterday morning. I was tired, fussy, stressed out, stuff nodding your head, moving so much trouble. So, you know, in that moment I said, God, what are you doing? And He right away gave me Isaiah 43:19. He says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So that's my little story.
Nice. So He's bringing a river in the desert, and that's the Spirit. Whenever you see the river of God, you see that that's the Holy Spirit in the presence of God. There's a river that comes from the throne, right? And Ezekiel got to wade through it and measure it, right? And it gets deeper and deeper as it goes, and then it talks about how in the end it'll go around the world and it'll bring life and healing to all the nations, right? And there's trees, and that's us on each side of the river. And planted by the rivers of water, producing fruit in due season, and our leaves are the healing of the nations. And so all of that connection takes place in the realm of worship. Right? Okay. And yes, let's just say you freaked out, you didn't ask God what are you doing, you didn't open your Bible. You would have had a crummy day and nobody would have received anything out of that, especially you, but nobody around you would have received any life. So when you plugged in and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to worship you and submit to the river in my life, bringing away in the desert, right? And then everybody else was able to be blessed because mom was blessed, right? Amen. And so that's what we are. We are these trees, and as long as we're plugged into the river, we produce the fruit and then others can eat from that and be blessed by our life, right? Okay, who wants to be a tree? Who could care less? All right. Just curious. I got to decide who I'm investing in, right? who are the takers and who are the givers in this economic system of joy and life, right? That was harsh, wasn't it? No wonder there's so few people here today. The Lord didn't save us so we could just be consumers. Did He? The consumers are not the ones that change the world, bless the world. They're not remembered in history. They come, they go. Right? Jesus said, go into the world. Go, right? Don't be consumers, if I could put it in my language. Be givers. All right. And the only thing we can give is what we receive, and that comes from Him. And the only way to anchor into what He's doing is through that lifestyle of worship. Okay? All right. Do you want to go here with me, or should I change the subject real quick?
Change it real quick.
Because I can do that.
There's no bad jokes.
No bad jokes. Hey. All right. Psalm 63, 2 through 8. This was written by a guy named David. Maybe you've heard of him. He said, that's a little smaller than usual, but he said, I have seen you, God, in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. For some of us, when we're worshiping, you're wondering, like, why do we lift our hands? It's in the Bible. It's just a reaction that comes out of joy and loving God. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you're my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Like, that is straight up lifestyle worship, right? I mean, it actually sounds so good. It's like, I want more of that in my life, right? Better than life itself. I'm worshiping in the shadow of your wing, in your protection. I'm clinging to you, right? And I just need to, now that we've seen the the glory and the bliss of this chapter, I need to read you the preceding verse. Can I read it to you? I don't think I have it on a slide. I'm just going to read it. It's a psalm or song of David regarding the time David was in the wilderness of Judah. Why was he in the wilderness? He was being chased for the purpose of being murdered. Having a good day? Having a good day compared to that, right? How long is he in the wilderness? A very long time. Right? And then you got Monique saying, God said he's going to make a way in the wilderness. I think things are connected, like the same Holy Spirit. What?
What a coincidence.
Yeah, it's a coincidence. I called her. I said, hey, find some verse having to do with wilderness. So the word, I've seen you in your sanctuary, that word sanctuary is holiness or holy place in the original Hebrew language. And, you know, that's how it's used throughout the Old Testament. So I want to recognize that it doesn't mean like holy place as in the building that you worship at. It was holy place as in the place where God's glory dwells, right? And so what he was saying was, I have seen you in your holiness in the place wherever you are, right? Not this glorified church experience, because sometimes we'll go to church and church will just be kind of like, meh. It's reality. It's okay. Right? Other times it's amazing and it knocks us on our backs. But church is not here to like entertain and blow you away every week. You're supposed to go and experience him in his holy place. The place where his glory dwells. And in Hebrews 4:16, he says, do you know this one? Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy and we will find grace to help us in our time of need. It didn't say, let us go to church all the time to get that thing we need. It's let us go before the throne. Now, church, if we're doing our job, is pushing you to the throne. Go to the throne, right? We're not the end all. We're the midpoint, directing, right? And so if you feel like you're not getting it, go to where his glory dwells. Another word for that is your secret place with him. You've heard that term by now, right? The secret place with him. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, right? Okay. So our peace, joy, our ability to worship him in these times is not... Can I use this word contingent upon a church experience? Okay? Although a church experience is often helpful because it gives you a nice shot in the arm to keep going. But really, we are an encouragement where you're going to find your help in time of need is in the place where he is, in his secret place, in his throne room, where you'll receive grace, okay? And how do you get there? If I just knew where the stinking door was, I would walk in, Daryl. All right, cool. We've been doing this since you were a child. Look at us. We know the way. And you do too. It's a song we sang as kids. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Huh?
I said I didn't sing that one growing up.
I'm sorry. We'll catch up. You'll catch up. Right? I will enter his courts with praise.
We're all Catholic.
All right, if you grew up south of the Mason-Dixon. Well, we learned, maybe you didn't learn this. Really? Did you not learn this?
Yeah.
Ron, you grew up Catholic. Did you know that song? He has made me glad?
I will enter his Lord's.
Aislinn was just singing it to us, but it doesn't count, Aislinn, because you're from the South, too.
I sing it on Cape Cod.
You sing it at Cape Cod? Okay. Among the Frozen Chosen?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
AG.
Huh?
AG. Oh, okay. Sang it for 4 hours.
Awesome. Sang it for 4 hours. So, do you understand, like, to enter into the throne room of God and to find grace is through worship. And it's not because it's your price of admission. Okay, so get that. He doesn't need our worship. Worship realigns our thinking with kingdom principle. And then we're, I can see the door now. to his heart because I was clouded with negativity and fear and anger and anxiety. And when I worshiped, my eyes became aligned with his vision and I could see the door and then I could go in and I was no longer blaming, angry, fuming, depressed, dragging myself through saying, where are you? Ah, I see you. You're there. You're on the throne. And all things are subject to you. And he's made me glad, right? So David, he's in his wilderness experience, and he's being chased down, and I just like to imagine, you know, you can hear the hounds off in the distance. You know, I'm talking about the hounds, like the king has released the hounds to sniff out and find David. They've got like some shirt of his, and they're like, go get him, boys, and oof, 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 right? The dogs are out there, miles away, but you can hear him coming, and he's saying, as he's in his little mud hole somewhere under a rock, he's saying, I've seen you in your sanctuary, and I've gazed upon your power and glory, and your unfailing love is better than life itself. I might lose my life tonight, but your power, your glory, your love is better than life. And how I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live. 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 years, 5 decades, I don't care. I will worship you, lifting up my hands in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. That's from a guy who's probably hungry, who's probably not having dinner tonight, right? I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because rocks hurt, right? When you lay on them. Because you're my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you, and your strong right hand holds me securely. Sometimes you just have to choose or find your reason to worship. I'm going to say choose it for this discussion. You got to choose your reason to worship because life doesn't always provide the reason for you. Right? So positive thinking says, well, you know, we have a roof over our head. We've got our children love us. Right? Well, that's all good. Sometimes it's hard to even appreciate those things, and sometimes those things go away, right? And that means your ability to be positive is contingent upon something being good or positive in your life. And I want to say that sometimes not everything's positive. So you choose your reason to worship, and that thing is not based on your life circumstances, although that helps, but that's not the end of it all. Like, the reason to worship is that you're clinging to him and he's dependable. And then pick an attribute. You know, the song Ron sang about Jesus Messiah, the name above all names. He's our blessed Redeemer. He's our Emmanuel, which is God with us. He's our, right, rescue. He's, right? Go down the list. Pick one that applies to you, or five. And that's where we find our security, really worshiping and pressing in on that piece of his heart. And his heart is so big, I mean, you'll never run out of stuff to grab onto. Yes? All right, this is the anchor that gets you through this stuff, okay? If everything's perfect right now, I want to encourage you to develop your secret place now. Don't wait for the chaos before you run in as a panic reaction. Right? That's very tempting. Like, everything's good now, so I'm going to watch my 8 episodes on Netflix. But then when everything falls apart, then we're like, okay, I'll turn the TV off now, and I'll go ask you for help, and I'll press in now. Like, panic, Christian. Right? Okay. Should I move on? Too close to home? All right. 2 Corinthians 4:4-6. This is related to what we're talking about. The point I'm going to try to make here is that all of the reasons that we've seen for David to be able to worship that are in our life, we receive or are fulfilled in our life through the face of Jesus. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. But you see, and we don't go around preaching about ourselves, we preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. Where are you going with this, Daryl? These guys are serving with a very specific purpose here. For God said, let there be light in the darkness. I need some of that. Who made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. So in whatever darkness we're in, and for some of us that was our pre-Christ experience, right? Like, darkness is darkness, right? We were called to be a light in darkness. So just because Christ is now in our life doesn't mean the darkness is all gone in our life. It just means now we're in the light, but sitting in a place of darkness, right? And where our lives are subject to things that are coming at us through that environment, and it never stops coming. Matter of fact, I mean, many times the more effective you are in your walk with Christ, the more attacks you will walk through. That doesn't mean stop, back away, it just means it's time to grow up a little bit more. Yeah? Okay, and that's just an indication you're on the right trail. Oftentimes, unless you're a bonehead, then you deserve it. But we believers are like Paul here. What he's trying to say is we're servants of the world for Jesus' sake. And this is how the world gets to see the goodness of God, the light in the darkness, by seeing Christ be that for us. And as we live that out in us, then that's how the world sees and knows that he is that for them. Because otherwise, Satan, the god of this world, is distracting people so they can't understand that. Right? Without us living it in our own life every day, that means the world is subject to just hearing a message and we just cross our fingers and hope they get it. But it makes absolutely no sense to them. Right? Even the Bible itself says the gospel is foolishness to the world, right? They like hear it and they're like, what does a guy on a cross have anything to do with you and why you're happy? And what? I can't make the dots line up. So then they have to watch us go through the shaking, through the wilderness. They get to see how the Lord has come through and how we're not wrecked by the situation. We're actually just wrecked in the love of God, and we're able to worship in that place, and they're like, I think I understand it. I don't fully grasp it all, but like pieces are starting to come together for me. Does that make sense? Now, we don't want to just do it because other people are looking, else that's called a poser. It has to be someone who we are, whether people are watching or not, right? Yes? All right, good reminder. Still have these allergies. I don't know what the heck. Ragweed?
COVID.
Sorry. What's that?
Yes.
Well, I'm a generous. I share everything.
I already had it.
You already had it? Yeah. I think I had it last year this time. All right. So believers have to see us living out our Psalm 63 experience in a wilderness, right? That's why we get Psalm 63. It speaks to us. We live out the Psalm 63, which was the previous worship in a whole kind of lesson for the world, okay? If we don't find our reason to worship for ourselves, how will the world ever understand and see a reason to worship? Yes. Did you know that your worship is evangelistic in nature? Did you know that? It's both the precursor and the result of God coming in to the dark place and moving. Yes? All right. Shall I move on? All right. Let me develop this point. When I said that if we don't find our reason to worship, then how will the world ever see or know? Psalm 67, 1 through 3 says, may God be merciful and bless us. I have a screen right there. Bless us. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. Stop and think about that. That's interlude. Verse number 2, may your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, God. Yes, may the nations praise you. What's the catalyst to the nations praising? It's verse 2, you know, see and understand the ways of the Lord on the earth, his saving power. And what's the precursor to the world seeing and understanding and knowing the ways of God on the earth? It's the first verse, which is, God be merciful and bless us and smile with favor upon us. I mean, you know, it's us internalizing the blessing of God in our daily life. We're going to develop that in a minute here. But understand that, right? As we internalize and we understand the mercy and the blessing of God in our life, regardless of what we're going through and how we feel, that's how the world sees and understands the way of God, and that's how the world then learns to worship him, okay? Yeah? All right. May the nations praise you is equivalent in my language to may the nations also find their reason to worship. Yes? All right. Psalm 89, 12 to 18. This is another psalmist by the name of Ethan. I kid you not, Ethan the Ezraite. Not Ethan the Howard. So Psalms 89, 12 says, you created north and south, he's talking to the Lord. Mount Tabor, Mount Hermon, praise your name. Powerful is your arm, strong is your hand. Your right hand is lifted high in glorious strength. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Unfailing love and truth go before you. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice all day long in your wonderful reputation. They exult in your righteousness. Do you understand? Our worship is based on his reputation, not on things. And there's a call to enter into worship that's going out every day. Do you hear the call? Or are you going to ignore it? Right? Let's see, how can we break this? All right, so Mount Tabor, I think this is cool. First, God creates north and south. It's like opposing places, right? And then Tabor means brokenness, and Hermon means abrupt. And Ethan here is saying, you know, you created it all. You had the ups, the downs, right? You created the broken places. You created the abrupt endings. And yet, your arm is powerful, your hand is strong, and your righteousness and justice are there, and your truth and your love are there, and we are happy just to hear the call of worship and enter in, regardless of the broken and the abrupt, okay? Yes, Ethan recognized it, David recognized it. I love how when he speaks of the unfailing love and the truth there in that verse, He's kind of tipping his hand toward John when John introduced Jesus in chapter 1 and said Jesus was full of love and unfailing love and the truth. It's like the same language being spoken again. So this thing about coming into the broken places and the abrupt endings and the Lord is just there with righteousness and justice, unfailing love and truth. He's like introducing, rolling out the red carpet, if you will, for Jesus to walk onto the scene and be who he is in that moment. Right? Remember we said in the previous verse that God is known, let his glory be known with us because we see it in the face of Jesus. And so the psalmist is saying, you know, as we recognize that God has got over the broken and the abrupt places and we still are able to worship and we begin to see Jesus walk into that scene. All right, and this is key because oftentimes we feel alone or we feel like God is somewhere like sort of out there working on our situation, but Jesus is in that mess with us, right? You know the three men in the fire and now there's four? Who's the fourth guy? Right? Is Jesus. He's not the kind of guy. We don't have a high priest that doesn't relate to us. I mean, he's in the mess with us, right? And we see that, and that's part of our worship, is knowing I'm not alone. I'm not lost here. I'm with you. You're with me. And that gives a whole new meaning to, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? He's not for us out there. He's for us right here, right? I have a reason to worship. Do you? Are you going to find your singing now, or are you going to wait till you're in a panic and then start practicing? And when I say singing, I'm not talking about singing with all the perfect music or imperfect music. I'm talking about singing when there's no music. When it's dry as a bone and it's just you and God. Yep. All right. Are you on vacation mode or should I keep going? No, I'm serious. Are you checked out or should we keep going? Yeah? Okay.
Keep going!
Keep going? There's, I mean, I got plenty, but we could be here all night if you want to be. All right. How about, let's hear from an innocent guy in jail. Would you like to hear that? Like a Christian who's an innocent guy and he's in jail. All right. And he says in Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 3, this is a letter from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. If you read that, would you say, ah, that sounds like a dude who's been falsely accused and is sitting in a prison right now? I would say prison dudes don't have flowery language like that. Right? Think about it. I mean, who talks like that? Paul. Let's just keep going. Next slide, please. Verse 4. Just pick up. Even before we made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ Jesus to be holy without fault and in his eyes. He's already worshiping over the fact that he was chosen before the world began, just like you and I. Like, so this whole prison experience, he's kind of temporal in his mindset. Even if it's the end of his life and he's not sure it is or isn't, he's just kind of like, you know, I'm gonna recognize I was chosen before the world. And with that security, this stuff is really inconvenient, it's a pain, and I would rather not be here. But God loves me. He chose me to be holy, and I'm in his eyes, I'm perfect. In his eyes, right? Steve, I could put you on the spot. Is your daughter perfect right now in your eyes, right? It's like, no? My kids are, even when they're turds. They're like, it's like there's a piece of me that's like, I love my kids, and I see them as better, you know? You know what I'm getting at? Yeah, Kim and Stu, right? You know what I mean? Like when your kids, even when they're on their worst day, you're like, but I still love them. I see them as perfect. Right now, they're just having a really bad moment, you know? We're going to have to work on that, but I see them as so much further, right? And that's the heart of God. It's like, he sees us as perfect in Christ. And we're on our way there, you know? And God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So this whole principle that he's working on is giving him joy, like as we're growing on him, right? And the development may happen to a dude who's falsely accused and is in prison. And yet, you know, he recognizes that the Lord is just joyful to love me. And I'll be joyful because he loves me, you know? Verse number 6. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Think about this. But Paul, you're in jail, dude. What? No. I am in jail, but he has poured out grace on me. I didn't deserve this. Let me rephrase that. My life was so lost, I didn't deserve his unfailing grace. And he poured it out on me. And I wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for him. But you know what? If I actually got what I deserved, it would be a whole lot worse, right? You hear what I'm saying? So rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. He forgave all our sins. Next slide. He showered us with kindness, right? Showered kindness on us. Because he's probably not getting any showers in jail. I know I wouldn't. Along with all wisdom and understanding, God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. There he goes. He refers back to the joy of God and how that joy, you know, is a reason that he's able to connect with joy, knowing my Father loves me and I make him happy, and therefore I can be happy in this experience with him, you know? It's not denial. It's actually the opposite. It's fully recognizing the gravity of a situation and yet saying, in its magnitude, it's nothing compared to the joy I bring my God as I press through this mess. You know what I mean? All right. Just recognize this. Pick your reason. We're seen faultless from the beginning. We're adopted from a bad home and put into a wonderful home. We bring him joy by living under his blessing. He pours out grace abundantly on us. He is kind and has purchased our freedom. Right? I'm just giving you reasons to worship. Like, not all the money in the world couldn't pay to have our brokenness fixed, but he did it. He's decided to put us through that process, right? He forgave us. With his kindness, he gives us wisdom and understanding so we don't have to lean on our own. We've been let in on the greatest mystery ever. I have reasons to worship. Do you have reasons to worship? Yeah. Thank you, God. I think I might call it. Do you ever know people who sort of live with maybe phrases that kind of betray where their heart's at, but they might say things like, I wonder if I was made to suffer, like that's my purpose in life. Or maybe God gets joy somehow in my suffering. As Catholic? Or you know, the much more more modern day stuff, which is like, if God is altogether powerful, then he can't be altogether good, because if he was altogether good, he would stop this. So he must not be powerful or good, or, you know, right? And you know, like that whole, this is weird, right? Do you know people? Maybe that's us sometimes. Maybe you just, right? It's easy to go there. It's easy to go there. And that's what the whole purpose of this discussion about is, not to go there, but to go back to your secret place and connect with the fact that you are loved, that you bring him great joy, that you were purchased at a price, that he lets you in on the biggest mystery the world has ever known, that he does have a plan that he's going to fulfill through you and through the situation, that he will turn it around for good, right? All that stuff, we have to connect with that, and then we have to seat ourselves there and be thankful in that place. And that's how you find yourself going away from the other place, which is, we seem to be made to suffer. It's our lot in life. C-3PO. All right. All right. I'm gonna call it. We're gonna pray, and then we're gonna go walk this out starting Tuesday, because we have tomorrow with the day off. Tomorrow's gonna be easy to worship. Tuesday. All right, so here's some of the topics we could pray about as a family here. Help me to find my reason to worship, right? In this storm, every storm, a storm. Let my lifestyle worship bring the lost to you. I have people I love, and I want them to know you through me. Another way of saying that is, don't let my sorry attitude drive my loved ones away from you. Another thing, make me an expert in describing how we live in the light of your presence, knowing that it pleases you to make us strong. We want to. Some of us, that's such a foreign concept. It's like we got it here, but we really don't have it in the heart. And because when it's not in the heart, when we try to describe it, it sounds prescribed, almost like something someone else said, and it's not really us and our words saying it. And we don't want that. I mean, we want to know by experience what it is to live in the light of his presence, regardless of the situation, right? And so we have to ask, God, take me through that process. I want to actually know this for myself, not because someone taught it to me. And then the last thing is, work the secret place into every fiber of my existence. I don't want to live this thing only when I need you. I want to live it because it's everything to me. Start us, and then we'll just pass it as we go. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to gather as brothers and sisters this morning. And we ask you just to help us focus and give us the opportunity to look at you more often in times, like Pastor Darrell said, not when everything's perfect and great and going well for all of us, but in the times that we need you the most. Help us look at look towards you in the good times, not just the bad. Help us discover our secret place and help us spend more time there. Give us the opportunity to focus on you, Lord. Thank you.
Who else wants to pray into that wilderness experience? Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to all of us, and just help us to understand that the secret place, that time with you, is the most important thing in our life, Lord, because it's what gives us strength. It's that time that we get to know you, Lord, that gives us strength in those battles, because we know that we don't have to be afraid because you're with us. When we walk through the fire, we're not going to be burned. When we're in the water, we're not going to be drowned, because you hold us up with your victorious right hand. Lord, you're faithful. Lord, you're our healer, you're our deliverer, you're our best friend, you're the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You're our savior, you're our provider, Lord, you're our everything. And so I pray that all of us, Lord, would make you our everything. I pray that in that time, Lord, when we spend that time with you, that as we draw close to you, Lord, that you would just fill us to overflowing with your spirit. And help us to come to know you in such an intimate way that no matter what we face, no matter where we're walking, we feel your presence within us and beside us and all around us, because we're not alone, Lord. You are with us always. And it's in the time that we grow strong, the time we spend with you. Lord, praise is what moves your hand. Praise is what moves the hand of God. And so as we praise you and as we pray, Lord Jesus, just reveal yourself to us in a way, Lord, that's so real. That's so real. That as we walk through this life, Lord, we just know you got it, Lord. You've got us in the palm of your hand. You are with us. You love us, Lord. And so I pray that every one of us here, each of us, Lord, we'll just come to the understanding of how important the time is that we spend with you. No matter what the enemy throws at us, we'll need to carve that time out in the morning, in the evening, and even in the day. We just can talk to you whenever, however, all day. But that time, that special time, Lord, may it not get stolen from us. Reveal to us just how important it is to spend that time with you, Lord. And to know as we do, Father, that we will grow so close that we will start to be able to be a light, and we can be a testimony to those around us, that people will come to Christ, that people will see that we're different from the world. And then as we're walking through the craziness of this world that we're in right now, we have peace and we walk differently from the world, and they'll see it. And as they see it, Lord, may we bring people to you. May people want what we have, which is you. So use us, Lord, as we grow closer, use us that you may be glorified in our lives, that you may be glorified in all that we do and wherever we go, so that we can bring light into the darkness, so that revival can come to this land. And as we spend time with you, that's what's going to happen. As we spend time with you, the Spirit of God is going to fall so heavy on all of us that as we walk through this life and through this world, the Spirit of God will permeate and go forth from us in such a way that people are going to be drawn to you through us. That's what we want. We want to bring you, Jesus, to this really dark and dying world that only comes as we spend time to get to know you, so that your Spirit can flow from us in season and out of season, wherever we are, whatever we do, that your Spirit would flow, and that comes
from that secret place of loving you and getting to know you and pouring out our hearts before you, that you would then fill us and that we could go forth, Lord Jesus, to glorify your name. Lord, there is no testimony without a test. There just isn't. So as we walk through all that we are walking through, no matter how hard it is, and I know some of us here are walking through tough, tough times, reveal yourself to us and be so real. Let us know that you're with us. Fill us, Jesus, with your spirit, that may we go forth. And as we do, Lord, that your spirit would flow and that people would come to Christ, Lord. Do a mighty work in every one of us here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. We thank you. We love you. We praise you, Jesus.
Lord, I want to worship you because you've given us a place where we can connect with your love in difficult situations. You didn't have to do that. You could have just commanded us to not fear and to just trust. But you didn't just leave us with a command and not provide us with the means, God, the way to fulfill the command. You've given us an environment, a place with you where we can enter in to your throne room, and Lord, where we can sing out of a real joy that's not circumstantially based into our lifestyle. We can sing into that, God, and watch all of heaven invade dark places. Lord, I thank you for that mechanism. I would not have thought of that if I was in charge, and I love you that you thought of that for us. And I pray, God, that you will help us to value and appreciate that way in the wilderness that you make for us, the thing that the world doesn't understand, and they won't understand unless they see us walk that way. Lord, let us just do that faithfully, I pray. And Lord, we just thank you that joy is a fruit of your spirit, that wherever the Spirit of the Lord dwells, joy is a result of that. And I pray for a release of joy, God, into our environment, God, a release of joy into dark places, a release of joy into the wilderness, God, that we can be like David singing that you are worth more than life itself. Lord, I thank you that I see you changing the wilderness into something else, Father, for us, that Lord, it will grow up to become a life-sustaining environment for us. Thank you that you've taught us this lesson, Father. And now, Lord, I ask for the strength and the ability to walk it out, Father, this week. Thank you, my King, for all that you are, all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.